often we're so nervous to, again, nervous to make mistakes. But in general, I think people are really forgiving of mistakes. Like, I think where people are being genuine, where there's real love, I think people will forgive lots of things.
Welcome to Independence, the FIUC podcast. My name's Phil Topham, Executive Director of the FIUC, and I'm delighted that today with me is Yannick Christos-Wahab. Yannick, welcome. It's good to see you. Brother, first of all, just tell us where you're in ministry, which FIUC church you're pastor of.
So I'm at Stockwell Baptist Church in London.
And you've travelled up with Trevor Archer today, our London director, and we're going to do a couple of podcasts just about London, and particularly this first one, we're going to be talking about race. So brother, for those listening, you're a black man, yep. You're a black pastor of one of our churches, you're second generation. Just tell us a bit about your kind of family heritage.
Yeah, so both parents are from Nigeria, both from the same tribe in Nigeria. So they kind of came over to England at various different stages, met, married, and had kids. I'm in the middle. So grew up in London, but parents are Nigerian. And I always say this, and this is true for lots of people. Yeah, just grew up in a very Nigerian home. So grew up in London, but yeah, just culturally very, very Nigerian.
So just explain that for us. What do you mean by that in terms of the way you did things as a family?
Yeah, the way we did things, but our whole social network, our church, everything was, apart from school. School was like, you know, with everyone. But apart from that, it was, you know, very Nigerian. Culturally, the kind of values and those kind of things were very Nigerian. All of us actually, me and my siblings, we all ended up going to a boarding school in Nigeria. So we've all lived in Nigeria at various stages. I was there between the ages of 10 to 13. But even if I hadn't lived in Nigeria, like it was very much a Nigerian home kind of growing up. So that's kind of my background.
And just tell me a bit about, so your parents came over as single people, but met here. Is that right?
Yeah.
So how old were they when they came to Britain?
So my dad came when he was quite young, actually. My dad came as a teenager. My mum came a bit later, like kind of early 20s. Met here, and really settled here, but still had obviously lots of family in back in Nigeria. I mean, the other thing to say is just there's loads of Nigerians in London, loads. So like it was just a whole kind of world within a world, if that makes sense. So very connected to back home and growing up, it was drilled. I mean, even little things like, you know, my parents are like, you know, you're Nigerian. And usually what they meant by that was like, at least their understanding of maybe, I guess, wider white British culture with kids was like, you know, kids would be rude or, you know, not the same kind of stress on respect. And so I was constantly reminded, like, you're not British, you're Nigerian. Of course I was British, so it was drilled in very, from very young that, you know, you're Nigerian and like, that's the way this family runs and that's our expectations for you. Along those lines, so
what's it like growing up in that way then? So basically you I mean, do you feel Nigerian, do you feel British? How does that play out for you?
Good question. If you asked me, I would say I'm Nigerian. If I have to choose, I'm British and Nigerian, right? And you know, that's, you know, being British is part of who I am. But if you asked me to choose, for sure I'm Nigerian. Part of that is just Nigerian culture, like you are where your parents are from, particularly where your dad's from. Like that's where you're from. And so I think that's part of it. I mean, the other part of it is that I think just being in British culture, there is a sense in which you feel like you'll never be fully British, even as someone that was born in the UK. So there's always a sense, you know, sometimes you'll speak to someone and someone will be like, oh, where are you from? Right. And someone might respond, oh, you know, London. And they'll be like, but now, like, where are you really from?
Yeah.
Right. So there's always the sense that that you can't be fully that. You need to remember, where you're from. You're Nigerian. So maybe to give another example of the kind of thing I mean, you know, so you have obviously lots of people from who've moved, similar people to me, second generation, third generation, who are, you know, they're British. And if you're doing really well, and if you're like, you know, let's say you're representing the UK, right, at the Olympics, then, you know, you're British, right? When things go really terribly, like it's it's interesting that often those people are characterized as Nigerian or Indian or wherever they're from. So it's like there's always a sense that you can't, you're not fully that. As an ethnic minority, I think there's a sense in which you're reminded that actually, yeah, like, okay, you are British, but there are, yeah, like, you need to remember your connection to wherever it is you're from.
So just let me check I'm hearing you right. What you're saying is we, as Brits, we grab those ethnic minorities when they do well and represent us, but we reject them when they don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think when things don't go well, yeah, you hear this person is from Nigeria, right? So, I mean, the case I can think of is actually a really tragic case. Obviously, the terror incident that happened, right, with the soldier who was beheaded, you know, which is a horrific thing. Mm. But consistently what you heard was, you know, these are people from Nigeria. Despite the fact that I'm not sure either of them actually even had Nigerian passports. These are people that were born in the UK. But similar kind of things is like, I think where they're, when issues arise, then it's like there's a sense in which I think, you're reminded that actually you're from here, but there's a sense in which you're not. And I think that was just something, anyway, that was a kind of thing I had growing up. And not just me, I know lots of people in my situation. So you're British, but you're always reminded that actually, you need to stay close to your roots, wherever that is from, you know. And even for people who've never been to the country that their parents are from, I think because I guess the history of immigration in the UK is quite specific. If you are an ethnic minority, if you look the way I look, like chances are you've not been in the, your family hasn't been in the UK for generations and generations. It's very different to like America, which is in one sense a country that's really people from all over the place, right? And have been there for lots of years. In the UK, generally speaking, you know, if you're not white British, generally you're second generation, third generation. So there is always a sense that, yeah, people will ask, you know, yeah, okay. Okay, but where are you really from?
Yeah.
Why? Because there's this expectation that actually, okay, maybe you're British, but yeah, like maybe your parents or your grandparents are from somewhere else. So I think that probably played some part in it or played some part in my kind of identity. I think the main thing was that my parents are proudly Nigerian and, you know, they wanted to raise their kids to be proudly Nigerian and British. But I think that's also probably a factor in, I guess, my kind of, self-understanding.
Tell us a bit about church life. Did you grow up in the church?
Yeah, I grew up in the church. Praise God.
A Nigerian church?
Yeah, Nigerian church. Yeah, for sure. So my dad was a Muslim when he married my mum, but he became a Christian. She was a Christian. And that happened before I was born. So I grew up in church and Nigerian church, like, which is its own world, really. I went to a church in Peckham. In South London, even though we lived in East London, that was me growing up. That was my church world, really growing up.
So tell me, you travelled to church then? Yeah. So Peckham and East London are kind of poles apart in London terms, aren't they?
Yeah.
Why did you travel to church rather than go to something more local to where you lived?
I mean, it's community. I think a big part of it is kind of community, right? These were people that my parents knew. These are people that, you know, were also from Nigeria, people they knew from back home. I think that was a big part of it. I think a big part of it is just that, especially for my parents, right? Church was an opportunity for them to just be themselves, you know? So
just unpack that for me a little bit. What do you mean by that, Yannick?
So like if you're coming in, if you're an immigrant or if you're not from that culture, you learn to speak two languages essentially, right? So you have to adapt, right? So they'll work. My mum worked, my dad worked. And in that world, you have to adapt to the dominant culture, right? So you have to adapt to, you know, a different sense of humor. You have to adapt to the fact that no one can say your name correctly. You have to adapt to, you know, just functioning differently. You know, I grew up, remember my mum pick up the phone and how she sounds would be very different depending on who was calling her. Right. So she had the way she would speak normally at the home with friends and family. And there's like the work voice that she has to use so that people understand what she's saying. So I think for lots of people like that, you know, you spend your whole week, working week, doing that. And in some senses, yeah, you're really having to adapt and to alter what you maybe comes naturally to you. And so on Sunday, like, it's difficult to then be in a church where, again, you're a minority, again, no one's saying your name correctly, again, everything's quite strange and odd. And so I think for lots of people, it was important for them to be in a church where, yeah, they could feel like they could just be more naturally themselves.
We'll talk in a minute about how our churches, FIC churches especially, can perhaps think about some of the things you've just been outlining there in terms of their own welcome to folk from ethnic minorities. Just tell us a bit about your journey to becoming a pastor. So obviously you've grown up in a Nigerian church, but you're not pastoring a church that we would say was a Nigerian church. So there will be people from Nigeria in the church. How did that kind of journey go, Yannick?
So I think, again, grew up in the context of a very, very Nigerian church. And that was me really up until university. When it was time to go to university, difficult to describe, but felt really led to study theology, which was a weird thing. That wasn't something that people did in my church tradition. None of my pastors had studied. If anything, there was a real suspicion of theological education. And the idea was if you studied, you would become heady and academic and not spiritual. That was the kind of thing. But in any case, when my parents, by God's grace, were supportive of me going. So I went off. That ended up being in Scotland. And that was the first time I was really introduced to kind of Christianity in, like, you might say, white British evangelical churches, right? That was the first time I had kind of seen that. So I say this sometimes, and it's really serious. Like, I didn't know until university that there were like white British Christians who were like really serious about the Bible and love Jesus, which is crazy because I spent almost my entire life in London. I think, and again, I'm not trying to be offensive in any way, but I think...
Be provocative, Yannick.
I'm not trying to be, but like, I think maybe it's because, you know, you hear about, you know, the Church of England is debating this issue or that issue, and it just feels like these guys don't really care about the Bible. So my sense was like, I knew there were Christians in America because I spent lots of time watching God Channel, which... you shouldn't do. But I knew there was Christians in America that, you know, were serious and stuff like that. But like British Christian, that was a whole different world. I didn't know that world really existed. So going to university was great in terms of engaging with Christians and realizing, oh, okay, we have different beliefs on certain things, but these are people who love Jesus, that love the Bible. So that was a great experience. So that was my, I guess, kind of first introduction to that world. Ended up doing a master's in America. I went to a seminary in the States, Birmingham, Alabama.
Not Birmingham, West Midlands.
Birmingham, which is the one in America. So spent some time there, about 4 years there, and then came back to join a church called Brixton Local Church. And so... And then Brixton Local Church was just, part of, that was a church, which was a predominantly black church, but part of a network that was, again, much more broad and really involved in kind of white British evangelicalism and that kind of world. Mm. And so, I mean, I had a taste of it at university, but really like getting into the world was really when I came back and started at Brixton Local Church, which is what, maybe 5 years ago, was really me getting involved in that world, which beforehand I didn't really know.
About. We'll do another podcast. I think we'll record something later on today about the way that Block, Brixton Local Church, merged with Stockwell Baptist. And just tell us a bit about now pastor at Stockwell Baptist. What's it like to be a black pastor in the FIEC?
Yes, it's interesting. It's been a blessing, and I mean that. Like, it's been a real blessing. It's been wonderful for me to learn again, just from a tradition that, again, it's not the tradition I grew up in. And so I've been blessed by, the real godliness of people. And I think that's something to say about the FIC, at least my experience with those in the FIC is that, that there's a real integrity there, which I think is so really, really important, especially in conversations like this. But it's also, it's different. It's a very different world. It's where you feel different, right? You feel different. So I remember being at the leaders conference, the first leaders conference I went to was 2019. And obviously the FIC conference is huge, right? Like 1,000 people. Mm. And I can't remember the time, the last time I felt so different. Mm. Just because it's rare to be in a room with that many people and for it to, it just, you know, not seeing many people, very few people like myself, mm. you know. So all of a sudden your race, and obviously I've always been conscious of my race, but it's just because you feel it a lot more, like you're conscious of the fact that, yeah, you're one of the few black people here in a room that's full of lots of people. And so, yeah, you're conscious of that. And that comes with its challenges. You're conscious of how maybe people perceive you. So that's a challenge. It's a challenge. But again, I mean, yeah, by and large, I'm really grateful.
And just tell us a bit about what fellow FIEC pastors can do on this whole kind of question of race. That's really what I want to drill yeah. into now for kind of the rest of this podcast. We're going to do another pod, by the way, about raising black leaders mm-hmm. in our churches, leaders from ethnic minorities in our churches, which will be available in another episode. But I think, can I just be blunt? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us white guys, we're concerned about misstepping, saying the wrong thing. What does our welcome look like to folk from minority groups? I think there's a lot we're getting wrong, and I think most people listening to this would agree with that. Yannick, how can you help us? What do we need to be thinking about?
I mean, I think obviously this is such a charged issue, right? And I understand the sensitivities around it. I mean, and nothing I'm going to say is really groundbreaking. I think a lot of it has to do with genuine love for other people, finding genuine interest, and asking questions. Like, I think there's not the expectation that we know everything about. There's lots of cultures I don't know about, but I think being willing to ask questions, I think a lot of it is just also just the humility to recognize that actually people that come from different traditions have things to offer that we don't have. And I think
For example?
So again, I grew up in like kind of Nigerian church, that whole church world. There are things about that church tradition that are not great, and there are things that are fantastic about that church tradition. And same with kind of more white evangelical church. There are things that are fantastic about that church tradition, and there are things that are not so great about the church tradition. And I think it's not just saying, well, like, you know, you want people to come in and join with what you're doing. With the kind of expectation that like what we're doing is the best thing. But I think what's helpful is to, yeah, just have conversations with people, have conversations about their church traditions. And I think the more we can do that, the more we realize that actually these people have, yeah, they have things to offer, things that can be helpful. Whether that's, you know, praying, for example, like prayer was, there's lots of things about my church growing up that wasn't so great, but like we prayed. Like a lot, and we prayed fervently, we prayed consistently. Mm. People really did believe in the power of prayer. That's, I think, in my experience, it's just not the same, right? And so I think that's an example of what I mean. It's like, okay, why is that the case? And what are the things that we can learn from that church tradition? So I think that's one thing. I think often we're so nervous to make mistakes. But in general, I think people are really forgiving of mistakes. Like, I think where people are being genuine, where there's real love, I think people will forgive lots of things. The other thing I would say, though, is that I think we're living at a time where diversity is such a big kind of cultural value, and everyone wants to be diverse. But there is a real danger in that people just end up getting used. And really, you know, so churches want to be diverse, and so there's a danger that actually it's not genuine.
So it's, well, like, it's tokenism, is that what you
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a danger, you know, not I'm saying this again, there's a danger of, you know, you call someone up to make sure that they're in for church on the day that, you know, the person's taking photos for the website, right? Because you want to make sure they're there, which, listen, I get that. But like if that's what it is, and there's not a genuine kind of relationship being developed there, then I think people get hurt. And I think that's probably the thing I would say is the most kind of pressing thing is like, we just got to be careful in the desire for diversity. If that's not matched with a real integrity and a real like genuine desire to like be brothers and sisters and love one another well, it ends up being really damaging because people end up feeling used. And I think there's a real temptation to do that now more than ever because in culture, we're constantly told we need to be diverse and you need to be diverse. And I think sometimes it just becomes diversity for the sake of diversity. And then people get hurt in that. And I think that's at least from my perspective, I think that's one of the big dangers to avoid is, to really ask ourselves the questions like, okay, we want to grow and being diverse. We want to be a diverse church or those kind of things. Like, why do we want to do that? And, you know, how can we do that in ways that are really genuine?
And what kind of ways would you encourage church leaders to do that in a genuine way so we avoid what you've just described?
Again, I think it goes back to stuff we were saying about different church traditions is it's genuine where you want to be diverse because you think diversity will help, which means there's something you appreciate about the different kind of people that have come from different traditions. And you generally think there's things to be gained there. You're not simply trying to say, let's just do what we're doing and like, let's get people that look different to just to tag along. I think that's where it can become tokenistic. And I also think that's sometimes where people get hurt because there isn't a genuine partnership, if you were to use that word. There's not a sense that actually there's things to be gained here. Sometimes it's just about the optics. And I think that's where it's... And the optics are important, like representation matters. There is something to ensuring that people, the leaders that or people that people see up front, they look different. That matters. So I don't want to denigrate that in any way. That matters. Like when people don't see people that look like themselves in certain positions, it's difficult to imagine that you can do that or be that. You know, I've had the opportunity to preach at churches and had people, you know, in churches that were a lot less diverse. And I'm always struck by the fact that, like lots of young people, when they're like people from minority ethnic backgrounds, they're young people that will come and speak to me and be like, you know, it's important to them because like maybe they've not seen that. And so it's difficult for them to imagine that they could do that. So that stuff matters, but I think it has to go beyond simply just making sure we try and diversify the people up front. Like we need to think through, can there be genuine partnership? And I think that helps deal with some of the kind of really superficial ways that we can approach this that end up being, that can end up being damaging.
Is there a sense, Yannick, that it ever looks like the white church, if I can put it like that, it's a sure. crass term, but you know what I mean? Is there ever a sense in which it looks like the white churches know what they're doing in it and we need to, you know, help the black churches to do it better? Is that ever come across? Is that a danger to avoid or am I overthinking that?
No, for sure. I mean, I think that's definitely a reality. That's definitely a reality. And I think that reality, it plays out in lots of different ways, right? That kind of reality. I think it plays out in the sense that, again, there's no sense in which there's a willingness to say, okay, how have you done things growing up in church? And like, what are things we could learn? There's no curiosity there because the expectation is the way we're doing it is the right way to do it.
So you should conform to our way of doing it, that expectation.
For sure. And in some ways, again, white church traditions are British, white British church traditions are, they're fantastic things, but I think there's that default. Sometimes it comes up in the expectation that, black people are not at church. So sometimes I have conversations with pastors about this kind of issue and the kind of underlying thing is, well, you know, black people aren't at church. The reality is black people go to church at a way higher rate in the UK than white people do.
Yeah.
Right. Most of the biggest churches in the UK are black churches. Right. And so I think some of it is seen in that. The other ways I think you sometimes see this is that when there's a push for diversity and which there should be, and, you know, the appeal is made that actually, you know, heaven's diverse and we should be diverse. And I think those things are true. Sometimes I think you see this in the underlying assumption that what that means is black people who go to black churches should start coming to white churches. Which, yeah, for sure, that's one way it could happen, right? Mm. There are also white people that could go to black churches, but I think sometimes that's just not, yes, that's not thought of, because the assumption is that the way that should happen is that way. The other thing I would say is that I think just where we are right now culturally, you know, for people like myself, like we live like in the wake of colonialism, and I think we just have to be aware that people are sensitive to that. So there is a sensitivity to the sense that this idea that actually, yeah, we need to help black churches to do things in a more faithful, sound way, which sometimes just means a more kind of white British way. So I'll give you an example. Again, I'm from Nigeria, right? So you see those pictures in Nigeria in churches in Nigeria, like, you know, 50s, 60s. And there's these churches where these guys are in three-piece suits in Nigeria, sweating like crazy, because they were told that, like, that's what it looks like to dress for church, right? Despite the fact that, you know, you're in crazy kind of heat. But there's that kind of history, just generally, kind of paternalism, or, you know, that kind of thing that's happened historically, but also has happened in the church. And I think people are sensitive to that. And I think for church leaders who are not, you know, from minority ethnic backgrounds, I think it's something to be conscious of, a danger to be conscious of. Now, of course, sometimes people, that gets blown out of proportion, and people are accused of that, where that's not the case. And, you know, that happens. But we also need to be conscious that, like, okay, they have the biblical essentials and so on, but there are so many things that I think we simply assume are just biblical essentials that are just kind of cultural manifestations. And we need to be conscious that when we are inviting people to our churches and so on, we're not suggesting that those things are, like, necessary, or those are, that's, and sometimes it's not, often I think it's not the case that people are saying, you know, to be a Christian, you need to do this and that. But I think sometimes the assumptions about what maturity looks like as a Christian can be kind of culturally conditioned things that, then I think, which makes it harder, I think, for, I think, minorities being in more predominantly white churches.
So we've talked a lot about white churches and black churches. I think there'll be people listening to this who are kind of screaming at the screen or into their podcast. We just need to talk about the church, not white or black. I have some sympathy with that. How do you respond to that, Yannick?
I understand what's being said, in the sense that I think what's being said is actually our unity in Christ is the central thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Our unity in Christ is the central thing. And that's the thing we should, yeah, that's the thing that binds us together. But the other side to it, it's just not true. As in, that there is a white church and a black church is true. Now, whether there should be is a totally different question. But I think sometimes, and I've, you know, had conversations along these lines, you know, there isn't a white church, there isn't a black church. That's just not true. I mean, that's probably the best way I can answer it, is that
it's our desire, but it's not the reality.
Yeah, the reality is there are white churches and black churches. The reality is there are, those tracks are moving on different, they're just different worlds. So like I said, me growing up in more kind of black church tradition, I had no idea what was going on in kind of conservative white evangelical churches. No idea at all. And most people in conservative white evangelical churches have no idea what goes on in black churches. Like, that's the reality. So I don't think, we don't help ourselves by pretending that's not the reality. Mm. And again, there's lots of questions we could have about whether it should be the reality. But in reality, when people came and immigration happened in the UK and, you know, Windrush and those kind of things, what ended up happening is for lots of reasons, not least, at least at the time, lots of people who came and didn't feel welcome in traditionally white British churches, they had their own churches, and those have kind of proceeded along different tracks.
With different challenges, I guess.
With different challenges, different traditions, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, it's just not helpful. It's not reality to pretend that's not the case.
Could it ever be the case? Or is that a new creation thing?
That's a complex question. I think it could be, but it depends what we mean by that. Because if what we mean to say is like, church should be like really diverse. The church should be the most diverse place in society. I think that's true because of the gospel. My fear in saying that is, and again, this goes back to some of the stuff we've said already, is that my fear in saying that is sometimes when I hear people almost suggest that ideal, what it can feel like is essentially the white church just continues to exist. And the black church, black Christians should just go into white churches, and black church traditions would essentially cease to exist. And I don't think that's a good thing. I actually think in God's kindness, God's providence, like actually there are different traditions, and actually that's a strength. And what would be great to see is those strengths combined at the kind of local church level, where we see more churches that are kind of combined. But that's a combination of traditions. It's not simply the case that it's not just, I guess, again, ethnic minorities going to white churches and assimilating into white kind of white British church tradition. So to give an example of what I mean, and this might be touching to the next podcast, but I was reading an article, and this is America, so slightly different context, but it was a professor of preaching who mentioned that in his preaching class, he opens his class by saying, you know, he will ask people, what's black preaching? And it's fascinating that everyone has lots to say about black preaching and they know what black preaching is. But then he will ask the question, what's white preaching? And no one knows what white preaching is.
Yeah.
Because the assumption is that white preaching was just preaching. Similar with the kind of white churches, black churches. There's just church, there's just the normal church, and then there's black churches, right? Is often the way it's kind of termed. But it just assumes that, again, the way white British churches do is just the norm. And so that's my hesitancy in saying, yes, what would be fantastic for the gospel is to see those traditions combined on local church levels. But I wouldn't want to see it simply an assimilation, because I think we would lose lots that would be a blessing, if that makes sense.
It does. Yannick, we've got to bring this into line. Can I ask you one final question?
Yes.
What challenge would you lay before us as FIEC churches? The majority of folk listening to this will be FIEC church leaders, elders, women's workers. What challenge would you lay before? Is anything you've not said that you'd really like to get over to kind of challenge us to think this through as we draw to a conclusion?
I mean, I think the challenge, and I guess it's really stuff I've said already, but like, I think most of us aren't aware of just the extent to which the people, ethnic minorities, for example, in our churches are coming from a different world, right?
Mm.
And I would say lean into that as much as you can, find out about that. And the reason for that is, like, take me, I'm second generation, went to school, went to university, so I can speak, you know, if I'm chatting to someone who's white, like, we'll talk about stuff that they're interested in, and I know how to adapt. I've had to learn how to adapt. So, yeah. We could talk and we could have a whole conversation, and you might assume my world is exactly like your world. But then, like, if I go back home, I'm going to a different world, and I actually have a different kind of background. And I think, so the thing I would say is, like, for lots of people, I would say lean into that, find out more about that. And I think there'll be lots of things that, yeah, sure, are just not good things. I don't want anyone to go away from this to thinking black church is just this haven of, it's not. Like, there's lots of stuff that's really bad and not good. But there are also things that are good. And I think just leaning into finding out more about the people that attend our churches and their church traditions and their backgrounds and their lives growing up, I think is a blessing, because in God's providence, God has saved people from lots of different places. And that's by design. And I think our churches would benefit from that kind of interaction.
Lots to learn, lots to think about. A conversation to continue, Yannick, sure. As well. This is just a scratching the surface, really. There's lots more we could say, and hopefully we will. Yannick, thanks for being so honest. Thank you for challenging me, and I hope those who've been listening. This has been Independence, the FIEC podcast. Do rate and leave a review so others can find it, and do subscribe through the usual channels, and we'll speak to you again soon. Yannick, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.